Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. For 17 years, Grant Thornton has been tracking the global progress of women in senior management. In its latest report released this week, the firm highlights that in the past 12 months, unprecedented events have had an unforeseen and unparalleled impact on that progress, with the coronavirus pandemic driving a fundamental shift in global working practices. To find out more, we're joined today by Belinda Tan, and she's partner, head of forensic advisory at Grant Thornton here in Singapore. Belinda, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rachel.
Our absolute pleasure, and a belated happy International Women's Day to you.
Likewise.
So Belinda, let's talk about this report that's been issued this week. I mean, it mentions that the last 12 months have had an impact on women in the workplace. What are your thoughts on that? And what are some of the key issues that may have arisen there in terms of the new working world on the back of the pandemic?
Well, I think one thing, Rachel, I realize is the virus is not biased or sexist.
Mm.
One of the few things that resonated with me during this time is there is an absolute need to actually take good care of oneself, physically and mentally, and then to take care of your loved ones and not to take things for granted. Personally, the new normal for women in particular, I think it's now at home, where by default we're all working from home. And your role as a leader, as a boss, as a colleague, as a wife, as a mother, or even a housekeeper for some of us, I actually roll into one now.
Yeah.
And it becomes a lot more prevalent as we are all at home and dealing with it. In the past, I could actually get up and leave the house, and then I put on this hat of a boss or a colleague or a leader or a trusted advisor and a colleague, and not think about whether, hey, I need to take care of the meals, I need to look after the house and that sort of thing. So I think one of the things that resonates with me is the need to prioritize, draw the line between work and personal, and taking this multitasking and this wonderful ability for women taken to another level, to be honest, and also accountability, particularly because we've got work to actually, and our objectives and work to actually fulfill.
Yeah, and drawing that line though, Belinda, it is easier said than done in many
Absolutely.
Cases. I think
yeah.
there have been quite a few conversations that we've had on the station with thought leaders in terms of working from home now, and where do you draw the line when your home becomes your office? But let's dive a little deeper into the statistics that Grant Thornton has published. And let's start off by looking at the region, because when it comes to the number of women holding overall senior partnerships position in mid-market businesses, Singapore actually has hit 33%. And that's despite everything that's been happening with COVID-19. Globally, women in senior leadership positions have also passed that critical 30% threshold. But in Asia Pacific as a whole, the number is still sitting below that 30% mark, just below at 28%. Why is that 30% threshold so important? And what does this mean for Asia Pacific, sitting just below that?
I think the critical 30% threshold is a research that has shown that it actually then helps a minimal representation to actually change decision-making process. And Asia Pacific is actually a very, very big region, and we should not take for granted that it's actually one single country, but actually made up of at least 45 countries, if not more. Some of the countries are more developed than others, with varying degrees of cultural differences, beliefs, value system that may have resulted to this gender diversity level. There has been also seismic shifts as we all brace for survival. And like it or not, such moves have actually had repercussions for women in business. Whilst Asia Pacific is lagging behind in the overall seniorship positions, the silver lining is that we as a region in Asia Pacific has 25% of women as CEO, which is comparable to 26% globally. And we've got 37 of the businesses surveyed in APAC having female CFOs as compared to 36% globally. And lastly, the 20% corporate controllers compared to 15% globally. And on a similar note, I think the encouragement is also that ASEAN is at 38%. And so in the bigger scheme of things, I'm actually really encouraged that we as Asia Pacific region will slowly inch our way to the critical threshold, Rachel.
Belinda, I'm going to play devil's advocate here. I'm going to ask you, does it really matter? Shouldn't it just be the best person for the job rather than looking at gender?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, I think gender diversity, as men and women are inherently and biologically constructed very differently, yeah? And therefore, when we actually bring, we bring different values to the table, these differing views not only challenge us, but it also offers us insights and it actually helps with blind spots. But you're right, Rachel, I do agree with you that at the end of the day, it's about the person best suited for the job and also being having the right credentials and giving it our best and putting the best foot forward.
We're speaking with Belinda Tan, partner, head of forensic advisory at Grant Thornton here in Singapore. Belinda, I've got to ask you, looking at your portfolio, you've got more than 20 years of experience specializing in complex fraud, corruption-related investigations, financial statement manipulations, asset misappropriation, accounting issues surrounding Foreign Corruption Practices Act, anti-corruption and litigation support engagements. I mean, the list goes on. From your perspective, what role do you think gender diversity plays in this arena and why?
Rachel, there's not many of us in this very limited market that's running around. And I think as men and women, we are actually constructed differently. And there are certain skills that come slightly easier to us as women. So for instance, our brain is naturally wired to recall details of events versus our male counterparts who generally just tell you the gist of it. Women has also about 10 times more white matter to connect different processing centers of the brain and therefore making us a lot more efficient in multitasking. In fact, some of the researchers actually believe that it might play a role in why women often excel at languages and verbal skills. Okay. Yeah. So coming back to forensic and forensic accounting, the nature of the work as a forensic accountant and the need to actually be detail-oriented, to sift through documents, to connect the dots, to lay out the evidence for the events that has transpired, the ability to empathize and draw information from your target, and then for such tasks to actually then be able to piece it together to then form what happened to the crime or to the incident, such tasks actually does come slightly easier for us as women. I am not saying that men can't do the work. I'm just merely saying that there are certain characteristics of the trade that does come easier for us.
So let's look at the industry then. What kind of trends have there been regionally when it comes to fraud on the back of the pandemic?
Yeah, borrowing something that Warren Buffett said, it's only when the tide goes out that you discover who's been swimming naked. It is unprecedented times currently, Rachel, and I think there are varying degrees of how we are all bracing for survivor. Four different trends that I actually noticed of late. One, a surge in corporate collapses, largely due to fraud or misappropriation. Two, the size of the fraud, i.e. the quantum of the fraud, is a lot larger. It has actually gone up several folds. It's no longer talking about millions, but now we are actually talking about billions and trillions that's actually lost. Third, the fraud type is a lot more blatant. And lastly, when checking with other fellow practitioners in the market, we've been told that litigation lawyers have also been exceptionally busy, which means that there is actually a lot more civil litigations going on.
When you're talking about the fraud is more blatant, can you give us some examples of what you mean by that?
So, for instance, in the past, we used to think that submitting claims twice, forging documents and then doing it twice may be quite rudimentary, at least in my space. But of late, when we actually look at the corporate collapses, for instance, there are many, many instances where we have actually seen that documents were actually submitted twice, if not more.
Okay, Belinda. So just to wrap, beyond diversity, what are some of the key traits that leaders need to demonstrate in the year ahead from your perspective?
One, to continue to adapt, continue to actually move with times, adapting your existing learning and development programs to actually move it, making it virtual, allowing more accessibility to the team. Number two, staying connected, i.e. maintaining an open door policy amongst middle and senior management and encouraging your team to actually speak up. Third, to actually innovate finding new ways to actually engage with the employees. So for instance, by default, my team and I are still working from home. And so we get together twice a week. Mm-hmm. And at each of these get together, each of the staff will get to lead the conversation, and we start to keep each other appraised of what's happening, not just from a professional perspective, but also from a personal front. And then lastly, I think empathize and pay closer attention to how your employees are actually working, what's their style like, and also adapting the approach accordingly.
Wonderful. Well, Belinda, thank you so much for sharing all of your insights, experience, and the numbers and the breakdown of the numbers from Grant Thornton's latest research with us today.
Thank you so much for having me, Rachel.
Our pleasure. We've been speaking with Belinda Tan, Partner Head of Forensic Advisory at Grant Thornton, right here in Singapore on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg. Or download the SPH Radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.